I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
Yeah, just do like your 3, 2, 1.
Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. I'm no longer Today is the day that the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. He's mine, Brother Davis. He's mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This afternoon, I said good morning like 10 times last week. This morning is not, it's not morning, it's afternoon. This afternoon. Hallelujah. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The weirdest, most awkward Resurrection Sunday I've ever had in my life. Thank you, Jesus. But it's still, Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
And no matter what, no matter what the circumstances are, He's still Jesus. He always has been. He always will be. So wherever you're at, just look at whoever you're with and just tell them, say, Jesus is still Jesus. He's still Jesus. Hallelujah. And just like He created the day that He died, He created the day that He rose again. And He's created every day since then, and every day before that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I cannot wait till we can just have church like we used to. But until then, He still gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still a strong and mighty tower that the righteous can run into and are safe. Hallelujah. And He changes not. Regardless of our situation, He does not change. Hallelujah. So instead of this being a house of prayer, wherever you're at, it's going to be a house of prayer. And this morning is no... Not to stay this morning. Today's no different. So wherever you're at, raise your hand if you've got a need, situation, circumstances. Every single one of us do. So bind together and help me pray. And I want you to pray with me that not only God would make a way, but I want you to pray as if your prayer is the result of somebody else getting what they need. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you this afternoon, Lord, that you would just have your way in Jesus' name. Lord, you've seen every hand, you knew the need before we ever asked you. I ask you this afternoon, Jesus, to move in a way that only you can move. I ask you, Jesus, to do only what you can do, Lord. Let the miraculous take place right now. You are not bound by our circumstances, God. You are not bound by what we're going through. You're still able to do everything that you've ever wanted to do, God. You're able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And this afternoon, I ask you, Jesus, to let your will be done in every heart and every mind, Lord. Every hand that was raised, God, let your will be done in that situation and through that situation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Every prodigal, raise your hand if you got a prodigal. A couple prodigals. Help me pray that Jesus will do whatever's necessary to bring them home right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you know every name that's in the jar. You know every friend, every co-worker, every family member that every one of us represent here this afternoon, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to just move. Move in them, Jesus, right now. Move in their heart and in their mind, Jesus. Do what is necessary, Lord, for them to find themselves in a situation where self-revelation must come to pass. That in the right moment, at the right time, God, that you just begin to make a way where there's no other way. Just move in that battlefield that's going on in their mind, Jesus. Set them free this afternoon in Jesus' name. Let your will be done in them, Jesus. Just pray that with me. God, let your will be done in them in Jesus' name. Let your will be done in them and through them in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Let's just worship the Lord in that.
Same power that rose Jesus from the
victory.
Hallelujah.
right now, I want you to begin to cry out to Him. Come on. Let's lift our voices right now just for a moment. We thank You, Jesus. Praise Your wonderful name. Praise Your wonderful name. Praise Your wonderful name. It is certainly an honor to be in the house of the Lord this morning or this afternoon. I can't break the habit of saying this morning. Irregardless of what time it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I know that it's a little bit different. Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, I should say, not being gathered together at McCormick's Creek Church. But I believe that we are the church beyond the four walls of a building. And I'm very thankful that. And I remember one time a couple of the disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, you can't go with me, but I'll do one better than that." He said, "I want you to go tarry in Jerusalem and then I'll go home with you." And so today we may not be able to be in heaven with Jesus, but Jesus is here with us, and He can be with you in your home. I'm so thankful today is Resurrection Sunday, and I feel the Holy Ghost in here today, and very thankful. If you have your Bibles today, I want to open up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read two verses, both 17 and 18. I want to thank the praise team for doing such an amazing job. Sister Krause, thank you for doing such a great job. And we're very, very thankful for our musicians and our music, Brother Krause, and for leading today. And it's just a good day. Today is my first Resurrection Sunday without my mother. And I was a little bit down last night. And I was thinking about how today was the first Easter without Mom. And it just hit me that today my mom is celebrating Easter or Resurrection Sunday with the risen Savior in person. And so that's a good thing. My cousin Zachary Johnson, he's passed away. He would have been 43 years old. And today was his birthday. And I told his mama today, I said, "Wow, what a double celebration." He got to celebrate Resurrection Sunday and his birthday today. So it's not so depressing when you think of it that way, that we celebrate a resurrected Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. "For Christ has sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I said something this morning. Nell, my godparent, she said, really, in all reality, we're not really. It's just sad that we celebrate. They call it Easter. I just call it Resurrection Sunday. Can I call it that, Resurrection Sunday? It's kind of sad that people celebrate Resurrection Sunday once a year. And it's true. Colossians 2 says for us to not to esteem one day over the next. And I know that today we celebrate that, but my goodness, it's the power every day knowing that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. It's not just on what people define as Easter. But today, I know, understand that it is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to talk about that this morning. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. There I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit on this thought. A rugged cross for rugged times. A rugged cross for rugged times. It's going to take a rugged cross to defeat these rugged times. On September 11th, no, we've talked about that, discussed that, and it's been years. There are people here that wasn't even born during the September 11th attacks. It was a tragedy that 2,996 lives were lost in that single attack. And yet, from the millions of the tons of rubble that were at the bottom of that trade center that day, they began to discover that at the bottom of that trash, if you will, there was a cross that was discovered late into the second day of searching for bodies. Rescue workers found a cross standing upright at the peak of the hill of that rubble. It was merely a linked two-piece metal beam standing about 20 foot high. And there, I don't believe that it was a coincidence that at the bottom of that rubble was a 20-foot cross that stood there. Nevertheless, it became a symbol of hope and comfort to those workers and grieving families. Just days before, these were the same people that didn't want the cross or the emblem of the cross or people even praying to the man that hang on that cross. They wanted the subject of the cross taken out of schools. And in that chaos, in that pain, they began to realize that maybe it is the cross that we should be celebrating. And millions, actually billions of people, their eyes were opened that day when they began to realize that it was the cross that brings hope to people in times of pain. Those that had lost a loved one in that attack would come to write a message or leave a personal item at Ground Zero. One grieving family member put it this way. He said, "When I came to leave my tribute at the cross, I could feel some of my pain and my anguish leave as well. When I left my message at the cross, I have never felt closer to Jesus," he said. Some would argue that it's velocity or the physics that would put that cross there that day. But to me, it was more than just a coincidence. I believe that it was an act of God. A few years ago, the Ground Zero cross was placed into the September 11th Memorial Museum, a once-upon-a-time emblem that was rejected by the United States, now becomes a recognized piece of peace. Some might say that it was a coincidence or a happenstance that those beams would land in the exact configuration at the top of the rubble heap. But I can't help but to believe that it was God's way of saying, look, the only peace, the only true peace that you will ever find is at the foot of the cross. I want to tell you this day to tell you that what this world needs in these harsh and rugged times is a rugged cross. One writer, George Bernard, he was not envisioning the Ground Zero cross when he wrote the original song. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. He went on to write, "But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. In a society where crosses has been symbolized and made into a fashion accessory. We are still in need of a rugged cross, where people hang crosses around their neck, where jewelers have strategically made these crosses of beauty out of diamonds and rubies and gold and silver. I still believe that what this world needs and the answer to the world's dilemma is a rugged cross. We still need that original rugged cross in a day and age in which sin has become minimized and downplayed. We still need the original rugged cross. Hear me. That's not a message that goes out of style. It doesn't go out of style. And I'm certainly not going to stop preaching it because people are sick and tired of hearing it. But I believe that it's the cross that gives us the power to overcome sickness and overcome disease and overcome viruses and overcome depression and overcome pain of this world. It's the answer to the mending of our homes. It's the answer to the healing of our minds and of our world. It has never been ceased being the answer to this world. I still go back to that old rugged cross, an old rugged cross that causes change, the rugged cross that brings conviction, an old rugged cross that brings repentance, an old rugged cross that offers hope, a cross that empowers the weak, a rugged cross that has the power to heal in this perilous times. I was just telling Pastor St. Clair that I believe that Jesus has a plan in this last day. I've heard it preached since I was a little boy that we're going to have a revival that rivals any revival that's ever been in the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts that we read when the revival was red hot and it was just a power-packed church. And now we've come to the time where, and I'm not talking about when the time of the virus. I'm talking about the time before the virus, where all over this world are empty auditoriums and empty churches and empty prayer rooms. That I believe that God is gearing up for a revival that's going to be greater than we've ever seen in our past. But it's going to happen because we go back to an old rugged cross. I believe this with all my heart, and I feel a spirit of prophecy coming this morning. And to tell you, I was telling Pastor St. Clair yesterday that I don't necessarily believe that that modern day revival is not necessarily fully going to come with first time visitors to church. I want you to think about that this morning. I didn't have this planned in my notes, but I feel like putting this here and telling you, Brother Krause, that every time you've come to church, whether it's Wednesday or whether it's Sunday, you take the time, and some people may think it's a waste of time, to pray for the prodigals. But I want you to think about how many prodigals have walked in this church and other churches for the last 50 years. That have not yet made it themselves and made it back to the doors of the church. But I believe that the revival that's coming is coming by the way of the prodigal. You ought to get ready because I believe that Jesus is calling His children to come home. Talking about millions of people. I'm talking about millions of people that are coming back that hasn't forgot about the rugged cross. Because we're living in the last days, it's grasping the attention of men. Perilous times shall come. Second book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous actually means rugged. Definition, rough, harsh, full of hardship and trouble, severe, harsh, hard times. Said that perilous times or rough times shall come. And when I go on reading, you'll realize that we're right in the middle of a prophecy that came out of the second book of Timothy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Perilous times are here. We're living in times of selfish, covetousness, greedy, proud, arrogant, blasphemers, which means no reverence to God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, fierce, despisers of good, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. In normal circumstances, according to George Barnett, and 86% of Christians will not attend a church service. That was last year. And the year before, 86%. That's perilous times. Most of me people that even confess to be Christians, they say, I don't even need to go to church. I don't need the church. But I'm going to tell you something. This perilous day in which we're living in, there are people that are being drawn to the house of God. I believe it with all my spirit. People that are sitting on benches at church, pews at churches, seats at church are now in their hearts and their spirits saying, you know what? I do believe that we're living in perilous times. I need to get closer to Jesus. We're living in perilous times. And let me tell you something. Perilous times or rough times calls for a rugged cross. This isn't time for a church that's weak and puny. This calls for a tool that's rugged, which is a rugged cross. We need to catch another glimpse of an old rugged cross. I remember as a kid when we used to sing those songs. And just the mention of those songs or just the tune of those songs or hearing that old rugged cross so despised by the world has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His throne above to bear a dark Calvary. I remember listening to those songs, Brother Jonathan, and something would pull at my heartstrings. And there was a simplistic power about that songs. And now we can hear them. And sometimes in some people, it doesn't even move them. But I believe that God has allowed us to get in the position for us to understand that we need God. We need His presence. We still need an old rugged cross. A place of agonizing pain. We shouldn't forget it. A place of shame and humiliation. A place of sin and iniquity. A place of loneliness and isolation. This was the original rugged cross. I can't fathom, and I'm just going to give you the understanding of what the cross was about, that Jesus Christ being the perfect Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world without sin, never had any sin in His life, never committed a sin, but the Scriptures are very clear that He became sin. And He took the failures of this world and took the sickness and disease, every sickness and every disease. The Bible talks, He took it upon Himself and it was nailed to the cross. He became the object of sin and He never had sinned. He was the perfect Lamb. There was nobody else like Him, but He literally became the object of sin. And the Bible says it was nailed to the cross and He only stayed on there for a while and then He put Him on a tomb. And the Bible went on to talk about and 3 days later, He was resurrected from the grave. It was the perfect example of sin being destroyed under the power of the Holy Ghost. And it came by the way of a rugged cross. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, and you, me, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have quickened together with Him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. That didn't mean just some. I said that didn't mean just some of your failures. The enemy, one of his greatest tools against us is he tries to convince you that not all your sins has been forgiven. And a lot of times we walk around with our head hung low and feeling defeated and down and depressed because hell tries to remind us of our past failures. But the Bible says that he had forgiven all trespasses. I am thankful that the blood of Jesus is strong enough to remove every failure that I've ever committed. Went on to say, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus died, your failures was nailed to the cross. It said it, nailing it to the cross, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, or it fought against us. And the Bible says it took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. His cross. The original cross became a symbol of hope for the future. That's where my Savior died. That should have been upon me. That was my cross. One of the greatest stories, Brother Jonathan Davis, one of the greatest stories in all the scripture is that of when Barabbas was standing there in front of the court, and they had to make the decision when the man in charge gave them a choice. He said, do you want me to set Jesus free, or do you want me to set Barabbas free? That blows my mind. That they made the decision to kill the one. And I know he had to die, and his death was the answer to our dilemma and the answer to our failures. But the fact is, they still chose. They said, kill the perfect one and let the one that had all the imperfections live. Barabbas was worthless. He was a thief. He was a liar. He stood for everything wrong in our lives. That was us. We are Barabbas. We are Barabbas. And I don't have any scripture. I don't have any proof to this, but I like to believe that Barabbas stood off in the distance and he could see the outlines of three rugged crosses, and he realized that the one in the middle was that of the Lamb of God. And he said to himself, that's where I was supposed to die. That was my cross. Can I tell you something today? That the cross that was in the middle was the one that I was supposed to be on. That was the one that I was supposed to die on. But Jesus, being the spotless Lamb, that's what happened to the lambs that were spotless. They're the ones that was supposed to sacrifice. I don't know. I think about stuff like this. I like to also think, Sister Katie, that maybe, that Barabbas was one of the 120 that was in the upper room that received the Holy Ghost. But even if he wasn't there in the flesh, all those 120 people that found the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, they type and shadow wise, they were the Barabbas. They were the ones that were supposed to die on the cross. But then they found the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And everyone that's in here in this building today, and the ones that are at home, what you need to be thankful for is you should be pointing back at yourself saying, I should have died there. That was my place. Brother Scott Graham preached one of the greatest messages I've ever preached. What happens to the spotless lamb? Isn't that what was the title? Wasn't that the title? What happens to the spotless lamb? He got to live. And what happened to the blemished lamb? He got to live. The spotless lamb got to die. It's pretty interesting that at the time when word went out, when the sacrifices would go out, word would go out from the priest, and he would tell all the shepherds, say, listen, It's that time of year that you've got to go through the grueling process of finding a perfect sheep. And it's this sheep that's going to be slaughtered to set back the sins for a year. Back then, there was no remission of sins and sins. There was no permanent answer to the dilemma of sins and failures. But they would slaughter it and they would kill it. And once a year, it'd roll back their sins. And they'd just pile up. And at that time, when they found the spotless lamb, it would be a grueling process because it was nearly impossible to find a sheep that was perfect. And finally, when they found the spotless lamb, it's pretty neat to me to know, which points to the real lamb. Do you know what happened when they found the spotless lamb? Because it was such a grueling process in transit to get the lamb to the city to make the sacrifice. They said, all right, we've got to protect the lamb because we don't want anything to happen to the lamb in transit because it was such a grueling process. They wrapped it to protect it in swaddling clothes. Does that sound familiar? That when the lamb was found in Bethlehem, born of Mary and Joseph, they found the spotless lamb. And that's exactly what they wrapped him in. And it just shows me that when you begin to really study the story, there is absolutely no way that this can be any coincidence that this lamb that was slain was the one that was prophesied, that Isaiah prophesied and all the other prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about, that there was one coming, that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He would be the perfect lamb. And it's a horrible place to visit. When you begin to think about what all took place at that cross. And I'm going to spare you this morning to go without reading all this. It just didn't seem fair to me as to what happened to this perfect lamb. That he was picked. And they finally found him in Bethlehem. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He came. He was perfect. All he did was want to take away the sins of the people. All he did was heal. All he did was open blinded eyes. All he did was cleanse the lepers. All he did was unstop deaf ears. All he did was raise the dead. And then they killed him. But they didn't just kill him. They said, you know what? We're going to make this as hard and as we possibly could on this thing. And I don't know for a fact, but all I do know that Jesus looking out into a rugged world and said, you know what? If I'm going to save a rugged world, I've got to die a rugged death. And it did. It matched it. And here's the thing. I'm not going to downplay his death. But I'm going to say the many men and many women had died for the cause of Christ throughout the history. And Jesus died. There was people that would boil in oil. There were people that were stoned to death. There was others, many others, millions of others that have died for the cause of their religion, of the cause of Christ. But hear me, not a one of them chose to die like Jesus did. He came and chose. That was his mission in life, to die on a rugged cross. And he died not only for a group, but he died for me. I'm a little selfish this morning. Yes, but I have a right to be. That was my cross. That was my cross that he was carrying. I believe every man, a woman, and child needs to realize that that was your cross this morning. That was your place to die today. That old rugged cross. And so today I'm going to be a little selfish. That was my cross. That was my sins. That was my sickness. That he took the stripes on his back for my disease, for my sickness. I'm thankful this morning that it was my sins that was forgiven. So that I can have eternal life. So that I can have a personal relationship with him. You ought to thank God every single day. That's yours. But today I'm thankful that he rose from the dead for me. He died for me. He died for me. I think many people, they go through their life and they forget that that rugged cross was personally for them. It was for you. You say, well, I'm not good enough. I don't feel worthy enough. Let me tell you something today. It has nothing to do with whether you're worthy or not. This price was paid before my failures ever took place. This price was paid before I ever got sick. This thing took place before I ever needed help. In other words, he paid the price before you ever needed forgiveness. The rugged cross, it can stand up against every disease, every sickness, every bit of failure. I've heard people say, well, this world's too far gone. Let me tell you what, it's no match. It's no match in comparison to the rugged cross. The perilous times in which we're living is nothing compared to the love that he's given us. I was thinking about this all weekend, about that his mercy has been made new every morning. Say, what about all the sins that took place yesterday? It doesn't matter. At 12:01 a.m., his mercies are made new. That took place because of an old rugged cross. I wonder, just for a few moments, wherever you're at, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, watching wherever you're from, I wonder if you could just close your eyes just for a moment. The singers are getting ready to sing. I wonder if you can give him thanks this morning that the old rugged cross can defeat every bit of sin, every bit of sickness, and every failure that you've ever committed in your life. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. I wonder, wherever you're at, you could just raise your hands and begin to thank him this morning. Not only was there an old rugged cross, but 3 days spent in a tomb. That over 2,000 years ago, approximately on this day, that they put a lamb in a tomb, and in 3 days out walked the Lion of Judah. And I'm thankful that we have the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us. And it came by the way of an old rugged cross. Let's sing and worship this morning and thank him for that cross. Hallelujah.
To change.